What's going on, everybody? Energy is Love podcast. You know it because obviously you're listening to it. Thank you so much for all the support that we've been getting with the podcast. Cannot thank you guys enough. I'm going to say it a few more times. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Remember, go follow us on our website, energyislovepodcast.com. All the episodes are available there. You can keep up to date with what we're doing. We've got links to our sponsors. Also, contact us through the website. Just click on the tab. Let us know what you think of the show. Maybe you want to be on the show. Maybe you want to sponsor the show. Maybe you want to tell us that you absolutely love the podcast. We want to hear from you. So by all means, message us, send us an email, energyislovepodcast.com. Also go to our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, Instagram. We're all over the place with the podcast. And remember, you can find it on iTunes, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play Music, Podcast Addict. If there's a place for podcasts, you can find the podcast for the universe. Thank you very much. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by our new sponsor, As Above, So Below. It's a beautiful shop located in Roy, Utah. They provide all your Wiccan, pagan, spiritually enlightened people what they need to stay spiritually enlightened and balanced. They have beautiful crystals, tarot cards, essential oils, smudging. If you're into smudging, they've got everything you could possibly need to get your smudging on. They also host classes and workshops coming up on August 11th at 7 p.m. at As Above, So Below. Guess who will be there teaching a workshop on pendulums? Lady Luna. We heard Lady Luna on episode 5 of the podcast, and she will be there teaching her workshop on pendulums. So that'll be a great opportunity for you guys. You can go find all their information out on their Facebook page. If you go to our website and click on sponsors, you can find the link for As Above, So Below. Contact them if you have any questions. Their phone number is 801-721-1344. Remember, As Above, So Below, located in Roy, Utah. We also have to thank Crystal Water Float Spa, located in Tooele, Utah. Crystalwaterfloat.com or their Facebook, Crystal Water Float Spa. Remember, if you're into sensory deprivation tanks, if you're into floating, this is the place that you'll want to go and float. Crystal Water Float Spa is an amazing space. It's where we record all the podcasts, and they have such a great vibe and energy there. So if you live in the area, by all means, come check them out. Come hop in one of the tanks and float back and relax. Maybe you're out there somewhere in the universe, somewhere in the United States, and you're thinking about opening up your own float center or your own float spa. Crystal Water Float Spa is the nation's only distributor for the amazing Dream Pods. The Dream Pod is the tank that Crystal Water has at the spa, and they're truly an amazing, 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 amazing tank to float in. You can learn more about Dream Pods if you go to their website, dream-pod.com, or contact Crystal Water Float Spa and learn how they can hook you up with one of their tanks. So then you can get your Dream Pod shipped out to your location, get it set up, get it all squared away. It's incredibly easy and streamlined now. Contact Crystal Water Float Spa. On today's episode, it is part one of the Soulworks Fair. July 30th, last month, we went out and we recorded on location at Dancing Cranes Imports here in Salt Lake City. It was the fourth anniversary event for the Soulworks Fair. It was such a beautiful day, such a wonderful opportunity. We got to sit down, had a ton of people come on the show, chat it up, share their experiences about being at the fair. This was a wonderful opportunity for the podcast, and we loved being able to go out and meet some of our listeners, share some of their experiences, and chat it up with all the people that were participating in the fair. If you don't know about the Soulworks Fair, this is a great opportunity for you to learn a little bit more about it, get an idea, get a feel for what it's actually like to be there. The fair is held the last Saturday of every month out at Dancing Crane Imports at 673 East Simpson Avenue here in Salt Lake City. If you go to Facebook, you can find out all the information about Soulworks. Just search out their Facebook page. Soulworks will also have a link to it in the show notes, obviously. But enjoy this episode, guys. We had so much fun recording it. Got to talk to a lot of people. Keep in mind, we did record this episode on location. So there's a little bit of background noise throughout the episode, but we did the best that we could with the audio quality, and I don't think you guys will be disappointed. We still get to share everybody's messages, still get to share in the energy, and it was really fun. So this was part one of the Soulworks Fair. Enjoy this episode. Podcast for the universe.
You're listening to the Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is the Love podcast.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Energy is love.
The Energy is Love podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love podcast.
Hello, Nina. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Are you excited for today, for the fair?
Yes, very much. It's nice to be here.
How long have you been participating in the fair?
Only about a year now.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's one of those things, because you do a lot of events, I'm assuming, and you work with clients and things like that.
Yes, I do, outside of here a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this fair. This was the first event that I ever participated in as like a reader or a healer or anything like that. And Betty just does an amazing, beautiful job.
Absolutely. I couldn't have asked for a better opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have you sit down because you do something unique and special, I think. You're an animal communicator, so you connect with people's pets, whether they're still alive or if they've passed on and things like that.
Yes, that's true.
So tell us just a little bit about it. First off, how did you kind of... When I say get into it, I'm assuming that it's something that you've kind of always had in some way, shape, or form, some connection to animals and things like that.
Yes, absolutely. I definitely have had a connection to not just animals, but other living beings beyond this dimension that don't speak necessarily English. They speak to me through images, and I'm clairsentient, so I feel feelings and sensations that they send to me, and I've experienced that since I was a child, but I didn't really come out as a reader until I started this fair about a year
really?
Ago.
Was yeah. this kind of the first thing for you?
Yeah. I'd practiced a bit on friends for many years for free just to help them out, but I really didn't feel confident enough to try, and then the opportunity came and beautifully presented itself for me to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say that you're clairsentient, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give a better understanding of that, what that is, so our listeners can kind of understand. Because there's a lot of those different kind of clairaudience
sure.
and all those kind of different things.
Well, for me, it's the animals send me what they're feeling in their body or what they felt in their body. So I can actually tell, like a medical intuitive, if there's something wrong and what organ it is. Because I'll feel it. I'll feel an ache or a pain. If there was cancer in the brain, I can feel that. They'll send that to me. So it's more like a sensation. And I had done a reading for a friend a while back where she wanted to know the history of how she found her dog in some park in Los Angeles that was in the mountains. And that dog sent me a very clear image of how hot it was, how it was panting. It showed me the ground. It was running over and over again in a circle trying to find who had dropped it off.
Yeah.
For just pretty much to die.
Somebody
in that park.
Ditched it up in the...
Yeah, so that's the thirst and the hunger and just the heat and those sensations I feel.
And you said that you also have, when I say that ability, you also have that connection when you work with people as well, right?
I do.
Is it the same kind of similar thing where you'll get that feeling and that sensation in regards to
yes.
things that they're experiencing? Or...
Yeah. I try to sit quietly with my clients and I have a hand-to-hand connection with them. The pet doesn't have to be there. And I often can pick up what's going on with the person and the circumstances around why the animal is reacting the way they are.
Yeah.
Based on what is happening with the person.
I had you do a reading for me. It's been a couple of months, and it was one of those things that when I first started doing all of this kind of different stuff, these fair events and getting into the spirituality and readings and things like that, I would see people that would be animal communicators or connect animals, and I was very skeptical. But it's funny because I'm very connected to my animals and to my dogs and things like that. So it didn't take long before I kind of accepted the fact that, I mean, it makes perfect sense because in the end, animals, it doesn't matter what type they are, whether they're dogs, cats, I mean, they all obviously stem from that same source of energy that we do, and they all have that. And when you did the reading for me, it was really amazing. It was one of those things that was really kind of perfect and spot on at the time and helped me with so many different things and kind of helped me make some peace with the dogs that I had lost and things like that. And it was really, really magnificent. So thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for giving me the chance to do that for you. And all I do is really kind of reinforce what most animal owners or lovers or companions already know about their animals.
Yeah.
And it brings them greater peace. But often I have people I do readings for, they're like, yeah, I already know that.
Yeah. I think we all have that intuition.
I think we do.
But it is nice to get the validation and the reaffirmation of that type of stuff. It helps a lot.
Yeah, and I think that's what I provide is that
yeah.
kind of validation for people.
What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is through Facebook. My name is Nina Kaufman, K-A-U-F-M-A-N, and you can do a search for me there. I don't have a business page. I just have that Facebook page.
Just your
page.
Personal Facebook page. People can contact you on
it. Yes.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Nina, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
What's up, Desiree? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Right now I have Desiree Minton. Is that correct, your last name?
Yes.
And Desiree, how long have you been participating in the fair?
This is actually my second time at the fair.
Your second time?
My second time.
You kind of came in right at the right time.
I did.
At the fourth anniversary today and everything.
Yes.
And tell us a little bit about what you do when you work with energy.
When I work with energy, I am reading the energy that you are projecting out, either energy that has followed you from the past or the energy that you're projecting out for the future. I pull that in and I see where that's going or where you have been, which lets me do the past life readings that I'm doing here at the fair.
Is that kind of the focus for you at the fair, is the diving into the past and everything
that? Seeing how the past affects the future or affects the life that you're in now or...
And is it all intuitively in a sense? Like, is it just your natural ability to connect to that flow of energy? Or are you using cards or crystals or anything like that?
Yeah, I will actually use cards if the person is nervous and wanting to block and doesn't want to feel like I'm intruding.
Yeah.
To kind of get them relaxed.
It's funny how often that happens,
it
huh?
It does. It happens quite a bit.
People sit down and they're like, yeah, I'm totally ready for this. I'm way open. And then you're like, no, you're not.
Right. And I also can go in and talk to your guides or my guides and get some more information than or if I'm reading the energy wrong or it's not coming through in the way that would project good for you to understand. So they clarify a lot of things for me sometimes. It's
very,
really nice.
Very cool. How long, in a sense, have you been doing this? I know when I ask people that question, everybody's always kind of like, well, this is something I just always have done.
Right? Yeah, I was like born this way, as Lady Gaga says. I've been doing it on a professional level for about 6 years. Like, I started reading for my friends and stuff, but you have to get over that stereotype where all of the people think it's crazy voodoo or devil worshiping things, and it's where it's not. But I had to grow past that in order to become what I am now.
Did you have some kind of, when I say mindset or some kind of belief system that you may have, you know, created over your life that kind of kept you in that space for a while, like yourself thinking that it was crazy and that it was, you know, dark magic or whatever the case may be?
I guess that would be like the religion I grew up in and the values that your parents teach you, where they're kind of closed-minded and they don't know everything and they kind of pass that down, so you kind of have to break through that. But my grandma kind of stood above all that, and I was just fascinated by she didn't let any blocks hold her back, and she did energy work, she healed people, and people loved her, and I wanted to do the same.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So you have memories of your grandma doing stuff and everything like that. That's way cool.
Yeah.
What's one of the hardest aspects of, and we're using the term energy work as kind of a broad way to label things, because it's all kind of individualized, and for me, I think that in the end we all work with the same source of energy regardless of the channel or the path that we take to incorporate it into our practice. But what do you think personally is one of the hardest aspects of working with energy in regards to helping somebody else? Does that make sense? So what's been one of the biggest challenges for you?
Is people being just receptive to it, the blocks that they have. I really think if they could accept it or be more accepting, they would be surprised on how much faster they could heal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you find that for yourself?
Yes.
It's a hard one to get over, huh? It's funny. I think us in the realm of all of this stuff, the people that participate in this fair or do this outside, you know, I mean, the fact is we have this insight and this knowledge, not that we're any more special or talented or unique. Everybody's got it.
Yes.
But we have this insight and this knowledge, and yet we still struggle.
We
still have our own blocks.
And
yeah.
We're still human too. And a lot of people forget that when they come and sit with us. They think that, you know, they look at us as this higher being, and we're just like them.
Yeah. Everybody's connected.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
You can go to Facebook and go to thewhitebutterfly.net and make sure you add the. You know how Facebook is. And my phone number and everything's on there.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, and I hope you have a wonderful day at the fair.
Thanks for having me.
So now sitting down in front of me here at the fair, I have Anita Williams. Thank you so much, Anita. Anita.
You're welcome.
How are you doing today?
Just great, thank you.
Are you excited to be here?
Oh, it just gives me so much energy. I love being here.
Yeah, yes. The fair, like a fair day for me when we come and participate at the fair, it's a beautiful day. I get excited, you know, the week before and building up to it, and it's beautiful, beautiful energy here.
And it has great energy. When you walk in, you can feel it. Those of you who are feelers,
yeah,
come feel it.
You can definitely
those
feel it.
Those who like to touch, feel the stones.
Yeah, there's high vibration.
Look around.
Here.
High vibration.
So you were telling me just a little bit about kind of what you do. Give the listeners out there an idea. When you connect to the energy, when you connect and you work with somebody, you mentioned that you can see their spirit or their spirit self prior to coming here and their purpose behind life in a sense. Is that right?
The correct part is that I feel it. Mm-hmm. And then my entire life, I'm a visual person. So as I feel, then I imagine how that appears to look. See, and so I have been drawing my entire life.
I love that you say imagine, because for me on my journey and everything like that, when I came to the realization of, for a long time I struggled thinking that I was just making this stuff up in my head. When I would work with a client or when I would meditate or something like that, that this was just simply my imagination. But I think they work in this beautiful harmony and balance of the universe connecting you to that flow of energy, and your imagination is kind of the paintbrush in the way that that information gets converted so that you can grab a hold of it and have some piece of it. Would you agree?
Yes, I praise God for sending me here with this gift.
Yeah. And you said that you've been drawing, right?
My entire life, starting with drawing, sitting in church and my mother drawing paper dolls for me to keep me occupied so I would sit still. And then I would say, draw this person or draw that person. And then I began to draw the people that I knew, the people that I saw, and then it became an event. As I had dreams that came true, as I saw things that were real, I began to put them on paper. So those people who drew journals were writing while I was drawing my life history.
That's super neat. That's way, way neat. Is that kind of the focus now when you work with a client or when you work with somebody?
I want them to see like I see. And as I put my pencil on the paper, sometimes I'll draw something that I don't understand at all. And their spirit is guiding me to tell me what to draw about themselves. It has become an awakening to me probably 10 years ago, mm-hmm. where I was kind of set free in the life. The world, as you want to speak, but I would brush up against someone and see, visualize a picture. So I was known to go into a store or into McDonald's and say, hey, I see something really wonderful about you. Can I show you?
Yeah.
And so instead of just speaking about it, I would draw it. And then they would understand the things that I had put on paper because their spirit was telling me what to remind them of. And most of the time it was someone who really needed to be reminded how wonderful they are or what their strengths are or their gifts are on this earth.
Yeah.
And so
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that you can do remotely in a sense? So do you ever work with people and connect and draw something for them even though they may not be sitting right in front of you?
I am able to do that.
See, I love it. I love it because that's one of the neat things and one of the neat aspects of the way the universe works and all the dynamics of stuff. And
if the spirit gives me permission to mm-hmm. do that, I was speaking to a mother once and she said, please, I need help with my daughter. Can you see her? And so I connected with the mother's spirit and then the daughter's spirit gave me permission. I drew the picture, took it into the place where she was employed, and then she... of course broke down and cried because she needed to hear that. Yeah. So I am able to do that.
That's super cool. And then what are you doing today at the fair? What are you offering at the fair for people today?
I am drawing someone, Betty actually helped and guided me to know that I can do that sporadically. Up until recently it was just when I felt the need to let someone know they needed that information. But now I'm able to actually ask the person, what do you want me to draw? Or what do you want me to say to you that will help you today or help you with a certain subject? And then it comes to my mind. So Betty has helped me to understand that about myself. myself.
Just
recently.
I'm going to stutter and get my words all messed up.
Because you like her that much,
yeah,
too.
She's an amazing woman. She's really, really
she
neat.
She really is. And she also, through her guide, was able to tell me what it's called.
Oh, really?
They're called archetypes.
Nice.
If you want to look that up, it is the core belief or true strength or actually a spiritual value, and we have many.
So you're drawing people's archetypes.
I'm drawing many archetypes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I stutter too because I was surprised when she said that.
Yeah, that's
just put a label
cool.
on it.
Sometimes we need labels, even though, like, in the because there's labels everywhere. We label so much different stuff in this society
right.
and in this world, and it's
right.
so unnecessary to a certain extent. But then at the same time, when we're trying to reach the masses and we're trying to bring our gifts and the things that we have out to people, unfortunately, I think at times, like for me, I wish we could all just sit back and say, we're just people that happen to work with energy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But we have
yes.
to have labels so then people can put it into a box, and so then it's easier to understand, and then they can sit down and we can help them.
Right, and with the computer and with the technology, you can look it up and research it. Oh, sorry. I have a quiet voice. I grew up feeling like I didn't need to use my voice. I thought everyone saw things the way that I saw.
Yeah.
So I was the quiet one all through high school. And it was a surprise to me that other people
didn't see
things the way that I saw.
Yeah.
So my voice is kind of secondary in my life.
We got to work that throat chakra, open that
right.
up.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Anita. I really appreciate it. And what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
You can contact me on Facebook, Anita Williams. Glad to hear from you. Just make a note that that's why you're trying to contact me.
Yeah, so then people know
just
that they're interested in working mm-hmm. with you and getting some
right.
help.
Yeah.
Well, beautiful.
Be glad to hear from you.
Excellent. So now sitting down before me, I have Lillian Janos. Is that correct?
Yes.
Lillian, you are a transformational life coach, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I work with angels, do angels and... I've combined healing and coaching because
yeah.
I think they go well together.
They do. It's a beautiful combination when you can get into that space because then you're helping people, but then at the same time tapping into all of that other stuff that can really help them on a deeper level. So give us just a kind of a brief understanding of, I guess, kind of what you do. You say you connect with angels. Is that kind of your go-to thing when you work with a client and tapping into their energy and things like that?
Well, on my own experience, I started working with Reiki, and I did a lot of healing. I was going through a really dark night of the soul, as
yeah.
we call it, and I realized at some point that although I had gone through the healing, that I was still stuck, like repeating some patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was inspired to go to learn coaching skills and techniques, so I've combined the two.
Initially, was it kind of to help yourself in a way too, learning
yes.
those techniques and things?
Yes, I had no knowledge about healing or energy, and it really saved me from like a chronic and deep depression.
Yeah.
Yes, so then after experiencing the transformation, I decided that I needed to help other people do the same, and that's what I've been doing. I worked with the angels for years, and what I love about that is that the angels make things so simple
yeah.
for us. Like they just I don't know, it's like healing just happens with them, and they help us connect to our higher self and to realize that we're perfect the
yeah.
way we are, and but also like how we can embrace that same greatness and focus more on our light than our darkness.
I think that's such a huge thing for people. I mean, we talk to people about that all the time, where it's literally sometimes just the small things of shifting your perspective and your thought pattern towards positive as opposed to negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of times people get stuck in thinking that if I shift away from the negative and I'm not focused on it, then it's going to come up and kind of bite me in the back, and it's mm-hmm. going to, you know, I have to focus on it or else it's going to spin out of control and my life will, you know, fall away into misery. But the reality is, I think that if you can stay in that place of positivity, then the negative just kind of has a magical way of melting and disappearing, and you know, you can really embrace life like you, like you're kind of talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. As a coach, I also feel that at some point, like, I got stuck on, okay, I need to release all of this, and like digging.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, what else I need to release? And like, it gave me a sense that of, I don't know, it wasn't ever enough, that there was always something else. And by working with the angels, then they've helped me like shift that, and also help my clients do the same. And a quote that it really goes well, because here, like, I'm specifically working with the angels.
Here at the fair, that's kind of the focus.
Yes. Uh-huh. So I channel the messages.
I want to ask you, I don't mean to interrupt you, but when you work with angels, when you connect to that space, give everybody out there, our listeners, because one of the things we love doing on the podcast is kind of educating, in a sense, and people who may have questions, but they don't know where to go find those answers, or maybe they've experienced something themselves. But tell us, what does it feel like, or how do you know that you are in that space where you are channeling and connected and getting the information?
I love that question, because I know that in the beginning, I used to think that people who talked to angels and worked with angels, like, they were like chosen.
Yeah.
And like, I wasn't maybe worth it to do the same. And I like to part, I believe that my main mission is not as much as to channel the messages, but to help people connect with their angels. Mm-hmm. Because the angels are just eager to work with everyone. And it's more much meaningful when you just hear the message direct, like straight from them. The main, the most important thing I think we need is to have the intention to connect with them and open our hearts, like working from space of love.
Yeah.
And that really, I know that it may sound like cheesy, but we were talking about how energy is love.
Yeah.
And it's just that easy. And I believe that we are all healers. We are all intuitive. We just need like to cultivate that more and embrace more than in every one of us. Something that the angels, like one of the, I think the messages that I cherish the most is like how we receive, you know, when they taught me how we receive the messages. And the thing is, they said, you know, we send a message as energy vibration, and then everyone like interprets that message or decode the message in a different way. So sometimes, like, we hear, you know, it's like, if you are clairvoyant, you're gonna see. If you're clairaudient, you're gonna hear the message. But they said is, we only send that one way, but then you just choose how
kind
it's easier
however,
for
yeah.
you, like how you want to interpret it. And it's more like, even if you can't put it into words or images, you've already received that message at the soul level. So if we focus more on the feelings, like even if we can't put it into words, and that's why I think it's a something that we hear a lot, is like, I just can't put it into words.
Yeah.
And we try, but it's not the same. You can't really experience, have the same experience.
It is really hard at times to put that feeling and that emotion and that experience in connecting to angels or energy or that flow of anything. It's really hard to put into words.
And they say, you know, once you ask for assistance, a blessing or a healing has already occurred.
Yeah.
So it's just that fast.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it just takes for us like to acknowledge that, and maybe get in that same, like, to quiet ourselves, like our mind, enough so we can like tap into the energy or acknowledge the energy.
Well, thank you so much, Lillian. I really appreciate it. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you? Looks like it's lillianjanos.com, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my website.
Perfect.
I'm on Facebook as well, and now I'm going to be here every month at the Soul Works Fair. And
wonderful.
I'm excited. This is my first one.
Is this your first one?
Yeah.
You picked a great first one to come out for, the fourth anniversary, for heaven's sakes.
Yes, the universe picked the right one.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. Thank you very much, and go back and have a wonderful day. And you get to go work with everybody today. And
Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I guess it's not quite afternoon. It's morning time. But before me, I have Melinda Wexler. Is that correct? Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yes, okay. Correct.
And Melinda, you're here as a guest, as a participant at the fair. You're coming to check it out, right?
Yes.
Do you come to the fair often?
Every single month.
Wonderful.
Every single month.
So tell me, first off, I want you to, if you feel comfortable, share with me kind of one of the most memorable experiences or the ones that kind of stick out in your mind in regards to perhaps a reading that you got here at the fair or just an experience that you've had with energy in your own personal life.
Okay. I'll use a fair experience.
Okay.
Michael Ingleby and I are personal friends, I will say that up front, but I come every month and get a healing and a reading from him.
Wonderful.
I have had a severe medical problem lately, and just this time he cleared out the infection.
Just now, just here.
Just
the,
now,
just
and now I can actually hear and put on headphones, which I am unable to do for the last month and a half.
Oh, wow.
Without pain.
Michael's amazing, isn't he?
Yes, very much so.
If I remember right, like episode 3 or episode 4, yes, we had Michael on.
Yes,
I he absolutely loved getting to know him better and everything like that.
And his readings have been prophetic
in
every way. I have a wonderful job with an ex-boss, which is what he actually told me 2 months ago would happen. I have a romance with someone from a foreign country, and everything he said about that is moving forward and
is
absolutely correct. Plus, his energy just makes me want to be alive and feel good.
Yeah, he's got beautiful energy.
And made me feel younger as well.
So in your own personal life, how do you incorporate the things? Because I think a lot of times I find this when I work with clients or myself personally, when I've gone and got a reading or a healing or something like that. Sometimes you walk away and you feel immensely better. It's an amazing thing because your vibration has been raised by that energy.
Right, I agree.
And then 2, 3, 4 days later, you kind of back in your funk. You fall back into some old routines and things like that. And so personally for you, what have you done to kind of keep the experience ongoing so that you can stay in that vibration, take the insight that you get from a reading or the knowledge that you gain and move throughout life that way to make it easier?
Well, I meditate every day.
Beautiful.
I also carry Ganeshas around with me everywhere I go.
Wonderful.
It is the year of Ganesha as well. I do fire labs from India by proxy.
Nice.
So I continue on a regular basis, and I've been doing this for 30 years at least, on top of being a holistic healer. So I also take the herbs that will balance this out. I take a lot of turmeric, and that helps immensely.
Turmeric's a good one.
Absolutely, positively. And so I do this regularly just to keep myself balanced.
Nice. So you're that regular, when I say regular fair goer, you're that person that has incorporated.
Oh, absolutely.
Put the broad term spirituality as, you know, incorporated that into your life on a regular basis.
Well, even my friends, people I work with, I share when they're curious. I've helped do healings on people off the cuff because I've been a reader, not necessarily by choice, of people from beyond and whatnot. I had someone walk up to me in Barnes & Noble, not even knowing me, and said, could you talk to my brother for me? Okay, where is he? He got killed in a car accident.
Wow.
And I let him channel through.
Nice.
Off the cuff. And these kind of events have been happening to me for my life because I gather I'm here to be the healer.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful.
And so I do.
Kudos to you. It's a hard thing sometimes, I think.
Yes, it is. Because you sometimes wonder, well, who is there for me?
Yeah.
In this case, Michael is here for me, so.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to have
and
a friend
so,
like Michael.
Who understands, and it's difficult being in Utah. I'm from New York, which has its own. I'm also Jewish. We'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
And so that adds a different energy as it is in my communications with people in the 20 years I've lived here.
That's a culture shock.
Among other things. Yeah. And so I share that, and I get closer to people.
Well, neat.
Which helps.
If you were to give somebody, maybe somebody that had never heard of the fair or heard of healing or energy work or something like that, what would be one thing that you would kind of help them to lead them down that path or guide them, you know? Because I think a lot of times there's that stereotype that all this stuff is woo-woo and that it's out there.
Oh, and that I'm crazy and insane and going off the end.
Yeah. But how do you help people who may have just a little inkling of interest to help that blossom and grow and push them over the edge?
Well, there's actually an easy thing that I do with them. I say, take your hands, put them together, rub them. Feel the magnetic energy. That's really yours, whether the etheric body and whatnot. And then I tell them, take it and hold it over your head. Can you feel something? And they start as if, oh, there is something more to this. Tell me more.
Perfect.
And it's that easy. I do teach meditation and share little things and seed mantras and whatnot. But that gets them going because they don't realize it. But that's science. I'm a scientist as well.
That's a really good practical technique there.
Oh, that's so easy.
Yeah.
It's not like we're doing anything woo-woo. You're doing it yourself. I haven't done anything to you, whether I have or not. That's a whole different issue. But you're feeling something more beyond yourself that you don't realize exists.
Yeah.
And that gets them going.
Well, thank you so much, Melinda. I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down. Do you have any other appointments scheduled throughout the day?
Not here.
Not here?
Not here. I have the rest of the day to get through.
Yeah.
But I know several people here, such as Curtis. Sound baths are phenomenal for people as well. And I know Rebecca Path and her husband, and Ernie Mondragon has made pieces for me that I have at work.
I got one of Ernie's necklaces on right now.
That one is in a box somewhere at this point, but I have a tree from him he made for my job, and I have that there with crystals on it, and so yes, so I share in many ways.
Excellent. Well, thank you once again for coming on the podcast.
Welcome. You're very welcome, Craig.
Okay, everybody, right now I've got Zoe. You got to pronounce your last name for me, man.
Klimowitz.
Klimowitz?
Yeah, but they call me the Peacemaker.
Zoe the Peacemaker?
Zoe the Peacemaker.
Okay. I've been trying to get you on the damn show for I don't know how long.
Yeah, see? It's like a bullet hitting a bullet. Like, you're moving fast, I'm moving fast, and today we found each other at the psychic fair.
Yeah, there you go. So
Perfect.
It works.
Yep.
So, the reason I wanted to get you on the show, first and foremost, is because you're doing a lot of really cool shit. You're out there doing a lot of really good stuff. I follow everything on Facebook, and it's... You know, it's inspiring. You're doing good work.
Thank you.
And so tell us a little bit. First off, talk a little bit about Vibe Bottle, obviously, because that's a big deal. I carry mine around with me everywhere. Me and my wife haul our bottles around and drive our kids nuts and stuff. And
heck yeah.
So talk about it a little bit so people out there have an idea.
Vibe Bottle, it's funny because I've developed so many things. My angels have given me so many great, inspired projects. And Vibe Bottle was an accident. I really wish I could say that I, cooked it up in my lab or something. Or it literally happened as a side effect to we were getting water at the Water Wellness Center for the last 4 or 5 years here in Salt Lake, and I developed a company called Soulworks Decals.
Uh-huh.
And there's your traditional bumper stickers, and they print them, overseas or whatever in the thousands, or and you can't see through them, so you can't really put them on your windows, and you can't really do like these 2-foot really grand displays. And I just wanted to do something that I thought made sense but just different than other people, kind of on a next level. So we started doing these sacred symbols that you can find all around the world. The flower of life, the seed of life, the Metatron's cube, these things that have been found in ancient Chinese culture, Mayan culture, ruins in Europe, wherever. It's everywhere.
Yeah, and it's all that sacred geometry stuff that, like you said, it's been around forever.
Yeah. Yeah, sacred geometry, been around forever since the dawn of time. And with the New Age movement, it's funny because it's new in the New Age movement.
Uh-huh.
But it's, ancient beyond time. So I felt like that was a really, we call it passive activation. It's a really cool way to be able to get people kind of enrolled in sacred geometry, enrolled into like this, the higher consciousness movement, but you don't have to sit down and tell anybody anything or try to teach them anything or preach to them. You're just like, look at this cool symbol. And then they're like, whoa. And then they go and research it on Google. And before you know it, they're tumbling down the rabbit hole. 5 years later, they're like, I'm a Reiki healer now,
yeah.
Or I'm a shaman now because of this, this symbol caused me to go. And so our inspiration to create Soulworks Decals was to activate people in a passive way on a massive level. And one of the ways we wanted to advertise that was by putting them on our glass bottles that we were getting from the Water Wellness Center.
Uh-huh.
And then people came up and said, how much for the bottle? And we were like, no, we don't sell the bottles. We make the symbols on the bottle. And they were like, what? And we were like, $20. Just buy the bottle. And ta-da, Vibe Bottle was born. And from there, it became a really fun new project for me. We weren't monetarily driven.
That wasn't the passion behind it at all?
No, it was such a cool, I'm all about Genesis,
uh-huh.
The beginning, there was nothing and now there's something. as an artist. When there's nothing there, and there, you know, I get an idea and I create it, you know, you got to kind of be a scientist too, because you don't know if it'll work. And each one was treated as an experiment. And it was like, well, will the artwork, you know, the way it looks in my head, will it look on the bottle? And, you know, now when we, you know, we send them out into the world, are people going to love them as much as us? Are they going to be, you know, durable, you know, under wear and tear and things like that? And we had a couple of issues with our materials, so we had to start developing new practices to make them more durable and to make them like dishwasher safe and scratch proof.
Yeah.
So in less than 9 months, we've been through four generations of processes. And in that time, our product's gone from 3 stores to 23 stores.
Yeah, you feel like you got it pretty dialed in now as far as durability and effectiveness and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's, you know, I kind of look at it in a couple ways. One, it's like, I want to be able to take this to like Whole Foods.
Uh-huh.
You know, I want to take this to them, and I want them to be able to run it through the ringer and go, yes, this is an amazing, you know, quality product. Especially like when you pour your passion into something, the worst thing is to see it fall apart.
For sure.
So, you know, I on my personal level, I want to see it. I want it to be like the Mercedes-Benz, if you will, or the Mac. You know, they're just gorgeous. Regardless of whatever the status symbol says, from a design point of view, they're just gorgeous creations, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to make that level. I want to make the next level of, you know, glass bottle out there. I want it to serve the higher consciousness community. We're very conscious of glass.
I was going to say, talk
plastic
a little bit about that.
Glass,
because that's a big deal. That was one thing, like, for a very, very long time, I would just haul my plastic jug of water all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, we would do things as far as, you know, we'd drop a crystal in there, or we would go out and energize it or cleanse it in the moon and things like that. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, gosh, you know, I really wish I had something that, you know, and granted, I could go buy a glass container.
Oh, yeah.
But the mere fact that you have the designs on them and the sacred geometry behind it. And I mean, mine's got Metatron's Cube on it. That's a huge one for me. And so when I found it, I'm like, this is the bottle for me and everything like that. And so there is that dynamic where that's why your stuff is in glass as opposed to plastic, because of all the other things associated with plastic that aren't necessarily beneficial or good for us.
Sure. You know, I mean, plastic is a very versatile material.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, our modern world wouldn't exist without it. You know, and in the long run, it does come from the earth. With that being said, there's a different vibration to plastic than there is to glass.
Uh-huh.
You know, glass comes from silica, sand, earth. It's, you know, it's earth material. It's recyclable. It's cleaner. It's prettier. It makes the water taste better. So even when people, and I feel bad about people, you know, when they request, they want their kids to have one of these bottles, but they're not giving their kids glass.
They're not getting them a glass jug to haul around.
No. And, you know, we got, you know, our enthusiasts. And to them I say, you know what? Buy our decals, you know, or write on your bottle. The intention is the same. It is. And it's all the same. If you want something that is beautifully made, that will put up with, you know, any amount of, you know, scratching or whatever. If there's something that you, if you're doing like a moon ceremony, or if you're charging your water in the sun, you know, you just don't want to do that with plastic.
Yeah.
Because the sun will literally break the plastic down. Atoms of the petroleum actually will find their ways. They'll seep into the water. It's essentially poisonous over time. You know, and then when you're doing moon ceremony, I mean, this is a sacred sort of practice, and you want to stay using, I feel like, the most natural material that you can.
I mean, it just makes sense.
It just makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where the average person might, you know, say, well, there's no difference to me. You know, once you get into the higher consciousness community and you get to talk to people that are really health conscious, you know, I mean, we're talking chiropractors and doctors. They're gonna agree, and they're gonna say, well, this one's healthier than the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just looks beautiful.
It does. They are beautiful.
Thank you.
You guys are doing a really good job, not just with soul work, the decals and everything like that, but obviously by bottle. And it's neat how you've been able to, you know, find the marriage between both of them, and they've kind of worked out.
Yeah. that's been interesting. It's been interesting because there's so much work that goes into the decals. All the decals are handmade. There's it's an 8-step process, and the machine only does one of the 8 steps. Even before the machine gets it, I have to trace it out in Illustrator, in a program, each and every shape. And a lot of them you download from the internet aren't, the integrity isn't there. Like, if they're pixelated or they're skewed.
Yeah, the quality of them's not there, yeah.
Right. And so if you know anything about harmonic vibration, you'd know that, you know, if anything's off by a hundredth of an inch or a degree, that harmonic vibration won't happen. So we literally have to remaster them from scratch a lot of the time and build them and use basically math to construct them properly. And then when we take them into the cutting program, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to work. They have different thicknesses of lines. Some of them, you know, if you make one at 6 inches and you shrink one down to 2, the lines are too thick.
Yeah, it doesn't.
You know, or too thin when you blow them up, stuff like that. So there's a lot of trial and error process. And the Sorix decals, some of them literally don't make sense financially to make. They don't.
The flower time of and life, energy putting into it and everything.
Oh my goodness. I think we did the math. I think it literally cost us 150 times more in labor to create one flower of life than it does to create one ohm symbol.
Yeah.
You know? So there's only one reason to do it, and it's because you believe in it. Mm-hmm. That's it. Other than that, it's like, so we barely break even on those. But, you know, the flower of life and the Metatron's cube are powerful symbols. They're widely recognizable. They're gaining in exposure and popularity, and it's, everybody has their own experience,
yeah,
of sacred geometry, and that's what we want to
push. Let's
talk about
yours real fast.
Okay.
Okay. Because for me, I mean, I could go into my whole own experience in regards to sacred geometry,
and I want to hear that story
specifically, like Metatron's cube and things like that. But how did you originally kind of come to it in a sense where this was going to be? Do you know what I mean? How did it play out in your life where suddenly you had the realization of, wait a minute, there's more to this or this? Because we grew up with triangles, we grew up with polygons and rectangles and things like that, but
sure,
we don't understand the true essence behind it.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. It actually kind of worked in reverse where, you know, most people, they would be like, say, into geometry and math in school, and then they'd grow up and they'd realize, you know, oh, you know, this could be my career. So a little bit of background. I'm a recovered addict. I've been clean for 6 years now. You know, I've been through divorce, loss of a child, homelessness. I've opened businesses, I've closed businesses. I was, you know, my dream was to be a DJ for a while. I was a pro snowboarder for a little while. And that dream was shattered. And so I was at a place in my life where I was just like, I need to stop trying things. I just need to like retire and be a regular human.
Yeah.
And just put my head down and go to work every day. So, you know, I did have an extensive background in graphic design. So I took, you know, a subpar graphic design web job for like a crooked pharmaceutical company or something, you know, like definitely furthest from living my purpose. But I was clean at the time. I was practicing positive affirmations, Louise Hay. I'd been studying shamanism for a long time. But I was in a place in my life where I believed that was just something you believed you didn't practice, you know.
Okay, yeah.
You believe in shamanism, but you don't just be one. That's for special people, you know. That was sort of reserved in my mind for people that were, you know, in a sense of the word, higher up than where I was, you uh-huh. know. Especially based on my track record of mistakes and failures and things like that. And straight up out of the blue, one thing I decided to do for myself to sort of rebuild my life, a friend of mine had invited me to a training. It's like a self-development, self-empowerment training here in Bluffdale. And I did a lot of clearing, a lot of letting go of what wasn't real and was all ego-based stuff, and learned to forgive myself. And that alone just opened up this door. And I don't know what happened, but it literally opened like a portal in my life to where one night I was in the middle of the night and I was in between sort of the waking sleeping state, and the Metatron's cube came to me in a vision, and it was like this you know, the 13 circles, all the lines join in, like, glowing. And it was like talking to me, for lack of a better term, but not talking, yeah. not in words, but it was like basically downloading information to me every second that I was in its presence. And it was about a 30-second period, and I sat up, and I'd never felt so inspired in my life. It was like in my bones. It wasn't just like, oh, this is a great idea. I should write this on a Post-it.
I gotta tell somebody about this. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It took over. It took me over. I got up immediately and I sat down and I started deciphering the information it gave me, and I started typing as fast as I ever have, in all caps. So, you know, my girlfriend comes in from the room. She's just like, he's definitely gone insane. That's her conclusion.
He snapped.
That's it.
Yeah.
He's finally gone over the deep end. You know, what I don't know what it is, but something caused him. And the exact opposite. I was inspired, which, you know, means to be in spirit. You know, I was connected to source for this time, for this period, short period of time. And I just started spewing out the information. And to give you an idea of, like, how much I've ever written anything, like, ninth grade, I think, was the last time, you know, I flunked English. Like, I have not been an author or writer my whole life. And all of a sudden, here I am just spewing out this. Have you seen Transformers?
Uh-huh.
The series? I think it's the second movie where the main character, Shia LaBeouf's character, he touches the cube.
Yes.
And he's just like seeing symbols and talking gibberish. That was me.
Yeah.
I was that guy. But it just in the movie, it did make sense, just not to this dimension. You know, and what I was getting was made sense, just not to this dimension. So, believe it or not, I calmed down, I crystallized the information, and I actually, you know, I met up with an editor, and she helped me put it into chapters, and I actually had that book picked up by a small publisher in Seattle, and 2 years later it was published. It was a book, and it was just the most miraculous thing. I never thought in a million years I could do that, especially with my track record.
Yeah.
You know, I questioned the whole time all the way up. I'm like, you know, talking to my angels, being like, why do you think I can do this? I'm like, you've seen. I was like, you need to find somebody who's like better qualified. He's probably a speaker. He probably has money. He could probably afford, you know, to travel. And I'm like, I'm not the one. But, you know, the funny thing about purpose is it's rarely cares about the mechanics or the conditions, you know?
Yeah, it definitely doesn't run through the checklist that we do. Like, how am I going to make this happen? What's the logistics of this? This isn't really practical in my life right now. Like you said, I don't have the skill set, or I'm mm-hmm. not, you know, it's just a belief of mine. I'm not really the shaman. Yeah, the universe is like, nope, you're going to be just fine.
Yep.
Go do this shit, because everything will come when the time comes.
Yeah, I'm not Wayne Dyer. That was my script, right? Uh-huh. I'm not Deepak Chopra, man. Like, you know, those guys they're doctors and physicists, and, you know, you're right. It's bullshit at the end of the day. Those are excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the just ego. Or, you know, and the ego, I get it. Its job, as much of a pain, it's like its job is to protect us. And sometimes it's like the overprotective mom. It's like, well, that's out of your comfort zone. It's not practical. Like, don't do that. And so I see the function in it. And at the same time, it's something I feel like is really important to recognize and to say very gently, thanks for the coaching, but we're going to do this anyway.
Yeah.
So my last 6 years of my life, I quit that job like instantly, you know, and I've just found different ways to deliver the same message, you know, and in no way do I believe that I'm not a savior. I'm not a messiah. I'm a messenger. And that's good for me, and it's good for the world.
Uh-huh.
It's something I can handle. And it keeps me on course. And because it's easy also for ego to go the other way and be like, oh, well, you've got this big job. You're important now, you know? And in Toltec shamanism, they call it the self-importance. And that there's this in the Western society. It's just completely out of control. Right?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so it's a paradox. You have to know that you are this, like, you're a part of Creator. You're the most powerful, beautiful, magnificent, miraculous thing in the whole world and the whole universe. At the same exact time, you're like a speck of dust floating on a speck of dust through infinity, you know, around this ball of fire.
Yeah.
Just, you know, and so to embrace our magnificence and be humble at the same time, that's kind of the trick.
That's the balance
to
there.
To move forward, always. For sure. Yeah. Be like, okay, yeah, I'm great. I've got way more to cover still. I just got 100,000 miles on this journey left. So, I remind myself to just deliver the message. And when I was first got that download, you know, from the Metatron's cube, which I found out later is, you know, Archangel Metatron. There's a connection between those two. And the Archangel Metatron is not only the scribe of God, you know, in the as folklore would say, he's also the Archangel of the underdog. And then it all clicked. And I was like, oh, okay. I can handle that. That's
now I
cool.
see where he's coming from.
I get it. Yeah, that's why you picked me. All right. Because yeah. In no way have I been privileged growing up. Like everything, poor family, you know, violence, mental illness, like everything. You know, I had like acne, I had drug problems, like everything you could sign up for in a lifetime, you know, I signed up for, and my family too. And now I see that's how I connect to people, because you know I don't have any judgment for anybody, because I'm just like I've been there.
Yeah, it humanizes you, gives mm-hmm. you that insight. Yeah.
Yeah, it allows me to connect with people, you know, just people who've been divorced, people who've lost a kid, people who've worked on something for a long time and it hasn't worked out the way they thought it would, you know, and it really helps me stay out of a space of judgment. You know, and just be in a space of acceptance and understanding. So, you know, along the lines of being a messenger, you know, it doesn't have to just be a book, you know. Not everybody has the time or maybe, you know, 300 pages of hardcore philosophy doesn't appeal to them. So that's where talks come in, you know, and that's when we started the Teach Peace Tour. And, you know, maybe not everybody can make it to our event, so... But everybody loves stickers, and everybody has to drink water. So, you know, Silver Seagulls over here, Vibe Bottle over here. And, you know, then we started developing crystal grid boxes just out of the blue. Not on the plan. It's nowhere in the radar, but that's how inspiration works. You know, it just kind of comes down. And so at the end of the day, we do one job, and then we deliver the message that love overcomes fear every time. That's what we're here to learn. And we just do it in all different ways. And we'll see.
Beautiful.
We'll see what happens today and what happens tomorrow.
That's why I wanted you on the damn podcast. And we need to have you come back for a full episode where we can sit down and just keep chatting and learning all about you and all this fun stuff. Because you're an interesting guy. And kudos to you for recognizing and embracing when that universe kind of pushes you in the direction and then riding that wave, even though it's scary, even though you don't know where it's going to take you, you know, you're going to crash at some point, but being committed to that. And I love the fact that the message behind it all, like you said, you know, we're just delivering this message in a bunch of different ways. And that's very, very cool, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Craig.
Thank you very much for being on.
Hey, you're awesome. Thank you for having me.
What's the best way for people to find your stuff?
So vibebottle.com. That's our main site now. We're funneling all of the all of our products are now going to be on there, and we're going to have our blog. Mm-hmm. So we'll the last year I've actually got to take account of, you know, every other week, and we've been sort of amassing a bunch of blog entries. So the last year of the Teach Peace Tour, we're going to have on a blog, and then I'm going to start putting in more information about sacred geometry. About how water is affected by positive words and symbols, you know, new products, things like that, changes. Like, we are constantly going through changes. We're going through ups and downs all the time. And, you know, I feel like in this industry, it's relevant. People kind of need to know that we have challenges, because I think from the outside, sometimes it looks like, you know, it's just all rainbows and sunshine for us. But it's like a solid sandwich of like hard work, you know, and then really good stuff, and then like blind luck, you know. There are a lot of times where we're like, we don't know how we're gonna get through the next day. You know, or if we just, you know, everybody's human, we don't want to give up or something, but you know better. And I want to share those things with people because I feel like, you know, there's a lot of healers emerging right now, and they all feel that way. And I think it's important to know that the roller coaster is part of the success, you know?
For sure. So, well, thank you, man.
Thank you so much, Craig.
Seeing how the past affects the future, or affects the life that you're in now.
The angels make things so simple.
This energy just makes me want to be alive and feel good.
Before you know it, they're tumbling down the rabbit hole. 5 years later, they're like, I'm a Reiki healer now, yeah. Or I'm a shaman now.
Hope you guys enjoyed that episode of the Energy is Love podcast, recorded on location at the SolarWorks Fair. Stay tuned for later this week. Part 2 will be coming out, where we get to visit and talk with quite a few more people about their experiences, about their energy, about all the things that they do. So stay tuned for part 2 coming in the future.